the show.
Well, hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of The Boundless Show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, and we are back in Studio A today. That is so exciting. They let us back in. I don't know why. We just heard that we're going to be in here today. Whoa, and Mott's already taken a Kleenex out. What's that about?
Just to put my iPhone on.
Oh, he doesn't have a case on his iPhone.
Okay, Howard Hughes. that's a little bit concerning. Okay, do you need like a Lysol wipe? Maybe we can find
one
for you.
I already did the hand gel thing.
Oh, good. So you're good, because we're heading into summer, which is a huge sickness season. Yeah. No, just kidding. I love giving Mott a hard time. Well, we have got exciting stuff to talk about. We actually have Candace here in the flesh. Good to see you, Candace.
Lisa, good to see you.
She's for real here. She got a sitter today
for real.
Kids. That's good. But we also have two special guests, very exciting, from north of Toronto, which is in Canada, for those of you who don't know, who maybe didn't do too well in geography. We have got Carrie Moran and Kim Reed. Good to have you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Woo-hoo. And let's just be honest, okay, this is kind of our season where we're ramping up with visitors. And we've gotten, or I've gotten, I guess, some messages on Facebook about people who are going to be tooling on through the area and want to say hi to us. And Kim
to
and
you,
Carrie.
Really? To Lisa. All about Lisa.
Listen, Kim and Carrie.
It is all about Lisa.
It is.
Well, okay. No, this time it was about us, Candace. They wanted to do coffee with us.
Oh,
that's true.
So, it's about Candace and Lisa.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. So, because they needed Candace to speak into their lives. And then I just add humor. So, and then I put my own problems on the
right.
table too.
Lisa's
and then they feel good about
chorus.
Themselves.
Amen, sister.
I'm like, I hear you and I'm living it. So, but they came to visit Colorado, first of all, to see us at Boundless,
but also to
do some other fun stuff too. They went up to Rocky Mountain National Park and have done some stuff here around Colorado Springs. So, how are you guys liking it so far?
It's gorgeous. It's
beautiful.
Wonderful. Great community, great people, great creation.
Mountains, right? You don't have...
Yes. We don't have mountains in Ontario.
Well, we don't have the kind of maple syrup that you ladies brought. I'm about ready to get a straw out of
that bag
and just start drinking that maple syrup.
Yeah, that is one reason that we like visitors, because they bring gifts. And Kim and Carrie brought us an entire bag of stuff, including Tim Hortons coffee,
which our producer
Canadian
is back
candy
there
bars.
Going through the bag. You better not be eating
any
of
Mike
those goodies,
is,
Mike.
Mike's engineering for us today, and he's from Canada, so he's just having like a home fest over there. Okay, but they brought us like these Canadian candy bars that are made by Nestle, but they're Canadian versions.
Mm-hmm. To the better.
And you said they taste different?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Carrie?
The Kit Kat tastes better, yeah.
Better.
Yeah.
Wow.
Awesome.
And then
no,
there's one called like
all
Coffee
of us
Crisp.
Or just Candace and Lisa.
No, Mott, you get to
there's
pick something.
There's about 24 chocolate bars, so I think you can.
There's some straws in there, Mott. I think there's a straw with your name on it.
Canadian straws. Yeah.
We're going to pick through it and then give you the remnants, basically.
There's some bright green tissue paper that. Is your color.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Because have you told these ladies how to find a man? I don't think so, Candace.
No, but I could.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
We're willing to listen.
Well, you give them give them one piece of valuable advice right now, and then we'll give you some candy.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Oh.
He can't do on the spot. He needs a little. By the end of the show, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Then he'll come up with something.
I need specifics. I can't just. I can't just say something.
Okay.
His wisdom
they are
has
single.
To
they are up in the north. They don't have a lot of men in their acquaintance, and they were hoping to meet cowboys here, and they did meet one at the Flying W, but he may have been too old for them.
A little bit,
just slightly.
Very
maybe
nice,
like in his 60s. So anyway,
maybe later.
Okay, Mott will weigh in on that. So,
in the meantime,
But it was fun because we got to go do coffee with them and we got to chit-chat, and I think they really did want to avail themselves of Candace's wisdom, which is good.
And to all joking aside, it is such an honor to have you here, and I just love how God brings people together through Boundless. And
thank you.
I couldn't believe that you actually came to Colorado prompted by the desire to come see us, so that's... Thank you for doing that.
And we
thank
did talk you. About this a little bit at coffee, but, you know, if you guys want to share, like, just what's something that you've learned from Boundless, or just something that maybe you've had your perspective changed on, or something that you've really been able to kind of carry with you as you've kind of gone through your transitions now in the past few years.
I really like the articles on singleness, like Single While Active and Living Intentionally Towards Marriage, but I'm currently... like a single working woman. So how can I live each day, you know, purposefully and not just biding my time waiting for marriage? So I've really enjoyed those articles. And then how to just make yourself like available and active in your church, because it's very easy kind of just to go back within yourself in these single years, but just to be quite active and to, you know, be on the lookout, but just really being living where God has me right now, because he has brought me to this very place. So to think I should be elsewhere would be saying no thank you to God, to where he's brought me. So I very much enjoy encouragement in that area.
Carrie is a nurse with itty bitty babies in the neonatal unit, right?
Yes.
At your hospital. So that's awesome. Okay, Kim?
My influence from Boundless is pretty similar with the intentionality on relationships and really how that's flown into all aspects of life, just being intentional in my relationships with family and being a member of my church and where I work currently. And yeah, and then a lot of the articles on the season of adult essence that has kind of taken over our age group within our church, and being able to use articles and bring them in to generate good conversation and kind of spur on accountability within our group and really, what are we doing as single 20s and 30s? Are we just living for ourselves and continuing on that youth group mentality, or are we really serving those around us and building each other up as followers of Christ? So that has been really awesome.
That's cool. Very cool. Yeah, let's get out of the youth groups, folks.
That's right.
So
work in the youth groups.
I find myself floating back into them occasionally. And I'm like, whoa, what's happening? So anyway, well, that's very cool. So you guys are taking off again tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Coming back home tomorrow. So very fun. So we took some photos here, so maybe you'll see them on the blog. And, you know, any of you men out there, feel free to contact us and we will hook you up with them. I just have to give, you know,
they have to go through Lisa first, right? Yeah. She gets first dibs.
Well, I am very, I'm just trusting the Lord, and so I'm very willing to give other girls little shout outs. So have to do it.
We
so
appreciate it.
Yes, exactly. So, well, we also have Mott here, and Mott just came back from a fun trip.
It was very fun.
Representing us at
Next Conference.
Okay, which
in
was
Baltimore.
In Baltimore.
Yeah.
Okay. And kind of describe what that is, because
Next is a Sovereign Grace Ministry conference for young adults, young singles and young marrieds now. And they really drill down deep on good doctrine, have great teachers like Mark Dever. They've had John Piper in the past. They had Kevin DeYoung this year, D.A. Carson. And it is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Matt, is it just Sovereign Grace people who go? Because some of those speakers aren't Sovereign Grace,
no,
right?
No, it is, it's Sovereign Grace puts it on. I mean, they hold the conference, but they invite any and all, Christians and even non-Christians. There are testimonies there this year of non-Christians who went in the past, who became Christians, and the Lord used that conference. They used the people that went to that conference, the young people. I think there were about 3,000, over 3,000 there this year, and it was great to see all the Boundless fans. And what's interesting about this year, and I didn't go last year, Ted went last year with his wife, I went this year with my wife, but there's sort of a transition, and the people who came to the booth, they would say, I love the Boundless podcast. And before it was, I love Boundless, or the Boundless webzine, the Boundless blog. We had so many people come by the booth say, I love the Boundless podcast. Where is Lisa?
We love you,
Lisa,
too.
Lisa, have you been before?
I went 2 years or 3 years ago.
Lisa
or whatever.
Went 2 years. Okay. 2 years ago.
Because that's where you interviewed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Al Mohler.
Yeah, when we did all the interviews with Josh Harris and Al Mohler, who I call Al.
But it was three necks ago, but 2 years ago.
Okay.
That's right. That's when we did the interview with Mark Dever and Joshua Harris and Al Mohler.
So I'll have to get back at some point, y'all. My niece actually graduated from high school this past weekend, so I was caught up in all the activities for that. So that was really fun. So it was great to hear that some people were like, hey, say hello to her. So.
They said say hello to Lisa. They wrote you notes. They said they were disappointed that you were not there.
Aww.
And they made me feel like chopped liver.
So next year,
which I am.
We can do the show, right?
Next year we have to have like a couple of us go.
Next year we're going to take the whole Boundless crew because it's in Orlando.
Totally.
Oh, yeah, Mickey Mouse.
Totally.
I'm just saying.
And I'll write to the Disney World people and just get ourselves some kind of like Could trip you? There. Yeah.
That would be great, Lisa.
Yeah. I try to do stuff like that. Because, uh-huh, you know, it worked with the Gaithers.
Could you really?
So I think Disney World is a short transition into that.
Don't promise me that. You're going to do that.
We'll be bitterly disappointed if it doesn't happen.
No, you know what? We'll get you in because your kids are so cute. They're going to want to do like an ad campaign with them.
That's true.
So that's how we're going to make that happen.
Mott does have cute kids.
All his little kids with their cute matching outfits.
Mm-hmm. They are very cute.
Mott, what was the theme? Did they have an overarching theme this year?
They did. Now you're putting me on the spot.
I'm sorry. I know you were working the booth so diligently.
We were working a booth.
Hear any speakers.
And we did. We did go hear three speakers. We went to hear Mark Dever, D.A. Carson, and Kevin DeYoung, and they were great. We got in too late that night to hear Joshua Harris. Okay. They did have a theme. I'm sorry, it's escaping
well,
me.
Well, I'm just as bad because I
sure
saw
it was on the sovereignty of God or something.
Well, I
or
saw
grace.
The website. Now I can't remember. So I was hoping you'd bring it back
of
home.
God and grace of God.
You didn't get a T-shirt with like a. This is next.
By the time we went to the bookstore to get a T-shirt, they were out.
Oh my goodness!
You have to go first thing. That's how cool they are.
Did you raise your hands in worship?
I did not.
Not even like a tiny little bit.
Then you
on
shouldn't
the
even
side.
Be going.
No.
Wow, Ma.
Not even
you shouldn't
a tiny
even
little
be
bit.
There. You're not even a team player.
No, I enjoyed the worship. Very, you know, great lyrics. It was great to see the young people and the way they worship. I would need to go longer than just a few days to do the spontaneous clapping and the raising of the hands, but I could get there. You know,
that's
I'm just
progress,
saying.
Lisa.
Yeah,
can we get this on tape?
He could get there.
I need more immersion. You know how they say it takes so long to learn a language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
when you're
I
used
to
hymns,
the language
and
of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
like a few weeks at least.
You're used to some pretty rigid. Worship.
Yeah. Well, we have a blend. It's not rigid.
Okay.
I mean, it's rigid for some people.
Yeah. You know what you need to do is when we're coming out of our Apostles' Creed, as we often do in our own church, and going into one of these six variations that we now have of the doxology, that's that's Village Seven's contemporized
that
worship.
That is so true.
Yeah. It's a little, you never know what it's going to be. It's going to be like, you know, praise God. Ooh, praise God. You know, it's some new tune.
Praise God. Or how's the other one? I mean, there's like three or four.
Yeah, you can't just do that.
So praise that could God be the point where you start boom. Practicing.
The spontaneous.
A little bit of...
just start clapping and shoot one hand up in the air. So that's what I do. I do the one-hander.
Yeah.
I can't do the palm out yet because that's too charismatic. But I sometimes do a one-hander. It's either a one-hander half-mast or sometimes I go all the way
and
up.
You keep your other hand in your pocket.
It just depends.
To make
well,
sure people, yeah. Like, there's nothing going on here.
Yeah, exactly. was to just say, you know, yeah, I'm surrendering to the Lord, but uh-huh. still, you know. Maintaining.
No,
I'm encouraged, Mott. Yeah. I'm encouraged that you. No, seriously. I think it's good to experience different kinds of worship, and we do all have different. Different
well, and we
church
had.
That's
okay,
why
so
we
what
have,
was it?
That's
we had
why
a booth.
We have different denominations.
That's true.
Right. Okay.
What are we gonna do in heaven? See, that's what's gonna
that
be really fun,
curious.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What are we gonna be doing?
We're gonna sing hymns. I mean, that's what we do in heaven.
We're gonna sing Gaither tunes. I'm just telling you. That's why you need to be like listening to these now, Southern Gospel all the way. So we had a booth.
Yes, we had a booth, and we gave away over 500 girls' guides to marrying well,
awesome.
Which was great. I think that was the first conference we've been to where we gave them away.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right? Or
well,
did you take them to Louisville?
I took them to Catalyst.
Yeah, I guess it's the third.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But did you give away the guys' guide as well?
Well, we gave away all of our guys' guides there, all that we had left. I think we had 80.
And wow. Oh, my goodness.
They went the first day. And
so, folks, if you are holding a guy's guide, that is now a collector's item.
It is.
I just want to make you aware of that. You may not want to get rid of it.
And they were clamoring for more. They wanted to say more, 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 but we said no.
Wow. Because we
well,
don't have
they
any
need
more.
To use the guy's guide to get themselves married and then sell it on eBay to someone.
That's right. Or just give
it
away it.
Or give it away,
as groomsmen gifts to the men and
the
wedding.
There you go.
Or see, that would have been
or
a good...
graduation gifts, groomsmen's gifts. We gave away coffee mugs for the guys because we ran out of guys' guides.
But they can still get them online, right? Boundless.org/guides.
They can download
the PDF.
The PDF, okay. But they can't order a printed version. We're all out.
Okay.
That's cool.
So if you're really upset about that and you're listening, you should really email us all the reasons why we should print more.
Exactly.
Easy.
We'll pass it on to our president. Okay. Well, that is cool. We also want to just talk briefly about those of you who caught our webcast last week, our first ever
Woo-hoo!
Live webcast.
Yeah.
Which was just logistics on steroids
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, what was that?
Really good feedback.
What kind of response was
it? in the comment section of the blog that Ted wrote. Good feedback from the next conference. We had some people come by and say, I saw the webcast. It was fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Did we have a lot of international viewers?
From 34 different countries.
Wow.
Oh, my word.
We had, I think, 1,700 viewing at one time. Hmm. Over 500 in text donations. We think more gave through the website and through PayPal.
Okay. And people can still give.
They can still give. They can find the archived version of the webcast on balance.org. And they can still give through either the text donation or through the website.
Matt, okay. Is there a link on balance.org?
Yes, there is a link.
To donate?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, my mom was very excited to be a part of it, everyone. And I read her some of your comments about just, you know, how much you loved her. So she was all excited about that, even though I don't think she fully understood what she was doing. and she has since sat down with me and given me a complete critique of everything that I did on it, including talking too fast, saying awesome too much. I can't remember what her other critiques were. Oh, whoever told me I said down the pike, I never even say that. And I said it like 3 times. Wow. I don't even know what was going on. It was just weird.
That sounds like good feedback from your mom.
Yeah.
Too many awesomes.
Thanks for your honesty. Okay. I was like trying to run all the logistics. Interviewing
Lisa,
people.
Lisa,
I'm like giving out text information.
You are a natural. You did a fantastic job.
I was wearing a hot sweater that I don't even know why I'm wearing.
I was sweating.
What was up with that? Yeah,
I know.
Because when I dressed in the morning, it was like 48 degrees, and I didn't realize it was going to be 85.
Okay, don't get me started on Colorado weather.
Okay.
Although, Candace, and we did get a good, you know, people came by next conference booth and said, I love that. Q&A with Candace at Rapid Fire.
Yeah.
So you guys did such a good job with that.
It was so fun. I hope we can do it again.
I do too.
It was just a really neat and different way to do questions.
That was really fun. Although if you did see my comment that I posted last night on the blog, the people that said, where was the rest of the team?
They actually mentioned me.
I lobbied for that.
Smart.
And someone whose name starts with M vetoed me on having the entire team on there.
We could have at least had like a waving, you know, thanks for watching, the whole group holding hands and bowing.
I campaigned for that. And Mott said no. So next I'm just saying
we had
spoken and wanted to see everyone.
Yeah. We had a plan. We had a format.
Yeah.
We could not stray.
Well, Mott doesn't stray from plans, and I'm not even about plans. So, so maybe we'll have to get
but
somewhere
the future
in the
Boundless webcast, and where I think we'll do more. We'll be more like a podcast.
Oh, cool.
We'll have a round table.
Very cool.
A culture, and maybe that rapid fire Q&A again.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
I'm going to need Candace and I will totally need a fashion budget, FYI, so I cannot wear the sweater
good point,
anymore.
Because I have that one jacket and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's summer, I'm out of choices.
If you give me $1,000 per webcast, I can totally work with that. $1,000 bucks.
I just want to say thanks for the makeup artist. Wasn't it cool to have professional makeup done? That was really fun.
Yeah. Although, yeah, that was pretty good. Although I told her, I was just like, could you please do this and not do this and not do this? Because I've had makeup here before and it was not okay.
Oh, well, you look really glamorous.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. Glamorous.
Shout out to Pamela, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she was so cool.
We liked her.
Mutt, did you send books to all the questioners?
Not yet.
Do they
but
need
we
to
do
contact
have them.
Us?
I think,
or do
how
you
many
have,
questions were there? 24,
like,
25?
Yeah, 24, 25.
We do have.
Do we have all their info?
The books. I don't know that we have their info.
So if you're listening and you sent us a question and we answered it on the show, can you email us
editor@balance.org.
Mailing? Yeah, editor@balance.org.
Do you have a list? I'm going to ask you. Do you have the list that you use?
Just the blog post that Lisa had. Did you throw it away?
I don't think I've thrown it away yet.
Okay. I know what I answered, though.
That's what I need.
Yeah.
And then I'll write them and ask for their address.
Yeah. So if you don't hear from us in the next week and you're listening and we answered your question, editor@balance.org with your address.
Yes, that would be great. And it's a good time to explain that these are not signed copies of Joshua's book. But they are Joshua's book.
Which is an awesome book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Joshua has been on the podcast before, so it's almost as good as getting it signed.
Yeah,
almost,
I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's awesome. Well, fun. What a fun roundup. Again, we're heading into summer, folks. This is a great opportunity to just kind of catch up on what we've all been doing this year, and heading into summer will be a little bit more cash probably. I have got another 3.5 weeks before I head to Europe, and I will be there for a month. So those of you out there who want to say hi to me and find me at some train station in a random location, totally. Please let me know.
Are
and
we
I'll
doing the show from Europe?
You.
Are you going
to
call us in the middle of the
night? I don't
know.
Night? I think I'm just going to have to call in or something.
That
or
would
something
be
crazy.
So
we're
going
to
cool.
try to rack some stuff up on the front end so we have some stuff in the can.
Yeah, but it'd be great tables. For you to call from Europe.
Yeah.
I know it'll be like 3 a.m, but Lisa, yeah. you need to get up in the middle of the
I'm
night.
I'm going to call from the fjords of Norway and be like, hello, everyone. Here I am reporting
Maybe
with
we can have
dead
all the people
fish in
who
my hand.
Are visiting Boundless sit in your seat to be guest hosts.
Totally.
What a great idea.
Yeah, do a whole new segment.
Totally.
I like it.
That would be awesome. So, yeah, Norway, Sweden, England, and Scotland. I will be in those four countries. So if you are there, just send me a shout and we'll find a way to say hello. Although England and Scotland, I'm going to be on a tour. I did ask the tour guide to please put me with single men. So she was going to try to accommodate that. And preferably, yeah,
ones.
Preferably ones who are straight. I don't know.
And maybe who are Christians.
And who are Christians. And not over 75. And she said that is a very tall order. So with all of those qualifications. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a good summer and we will be in contact with you through the show as well. So awesome. Well, Kim and Carrie, great to have you here. We're so glad that you guys
Thank
were
you
able
for
to
having
stop
us.
It. So very fun.
From the rays of the sun to the stars in the sky, your glory, Lord, illuminates. From the power in my hands to the light in my eyes, your glory, Lord, illuminates. Spirit, come, move like lightning in the sky. I can feel your presence moving. I can feel your presence flow. I can feel your presence, Jesus. I can feel it. Oh, I can feel your spirit moving. I can feel your spirit flowing. I can feel your spirit, Jesus. I can feel it. I can feel your presence moving. I can feel your presence flowing. I can feel your presence, Jesus.
Hey everyone, for this week's culture segment, I am joined on the phone by George Halitzka. He's one of our Boundless contributors. George, welcome.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, great to have you. You know, it's interesting because we've had, when we did our survey for Boundless, as well as just other emails we've gotten in, a lot of people say, hey, we want to hear more often from contributors and kind of find out a little bit about them and kind of some things that they want to talk about. So look at that. Here you are.
Here I am. I'm really glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're just able to meet these needs of our readers and our listeners, which we're excited about. Well, folks out there, you can learn more about George as we're talking here. He has a website, writingbygeorge.com. And is that where kind of you have a blog house there, or what do you have there, George?
Actually, that's just kind of the archive of all the articles, fiction pieces, nonfiction pieces, pretty much everything that I write. It gets posted up there by category, and people can just kind of browse through and, you know, kind of see all the different things that I'm working on.
Okay, well, that's cool. So people can check that out. You actually live in Louisville, Kentucky, but
yep.
But you can obviously we have contributors from all over, so that's really cool. Well, we're going to go ahead today and talk a little bit about styles of writing, specifically the value of different types of writing. I think we have a perception out there in the culture, especially in Christian culture, that, you know, if you can throw down some of the Puritans or some Piper or whatever, then you're maybe a little bit more spiritual than some people. but those of us who maybe pick up some paperbacks once in a while are, you know, need to grow a little bit more in our faith. And so you have some pretty strong opinions on that. Let's start out by talking with us, George, a little bit about how you got a passion for reading and writing in general and kind of how you came about to be such a voracious reader as well as writer.
Well, I guess it's almost just that's how God made me. You know, ever since I was a kid, I loved to read. And yes, I was one of those dorky kids who would walk around with a note, his nose in a book. Like, you know, my class would be walking down the hallway to lunch, and I would have a book in my face that I just had to finish my chapter before I could go down to the lunchroom, you know. And the same thing when I was a kid, I just kind of naturally started writing. Like, it was nothing that anybody ever said, hey, George, you should write because it'll make you a better student or something. It was just like, that's just kind of what I do. Like, I tell stories. That's just how God wired me up, you know?
Wow. Okay. Well, that's cool. What do you generally like to, like, for example, what would you say on Boundless you have written about most often? Like, what's your topic du jour?
I don't so much have a topic that I love to focus in on as much as I just love the form of a story, you know, because to me, a story is something that can show us something of God and something of ourselves and also help us to live in authentic community with other people, because it takes us past the news story that says 200,000 people died in Haiti to say, hey, you know, maybe you want to consider this one person who died in Haiti, this one person who needs help in Haiti right now, you know? And so I think that story just has an enormous amount of power to help us to become more human, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that, because as I alluded to on the front end of the interview, we're very prone to buying those books that are the 10 ways to do this, the 19 things that you should know about life, the blah, blah, blah lists, tips and tactics. We kind of go after those self-help books, especially the Christian self-help. They always are on the end caps in Christian bookstores.
Yes.
But you're a big proponent of fiction as a genre. And like you said, the crafting of a story and the living out a story through someone else's writing. What do you think about fiction is so powerful?
Well, I think fiction tells us some things about ourselves just by the very nature of it, you know. So C.S. Lewis, and I imagine everybody who's listening to the podcast is familiar with C.S. Lewis, you know, great Oxford professor and defender of the Christian faith. He said, reason is the natural order of truth, but imagination is the organ of meaning. So, you know, we can read John Piper, we can read self-help books, we can read the 10 Steps to a Better Relationship or whatever. We can do all that without really ever engaging our imagination.
Right.
And it can be very helpful, you know? I mean, I've read self-help books myself, okay? I'm not knocking them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all they ever really give us is facts. You know, we're never going to start really looking forward to heaven. We're never going to start to develop a deeper understanding of Christ's sufferings or a kind of wonder at the miracle of the incarnation of God becoming human flesh and puking and pooping. You know, we're never going to start to understand that stuff until we can engage our imaginations. And I think fiction helps us to do that. It helps us to go beyond the, okay, we are going to talk today, boys and girls, about the substitutionary penal atonement of Christ, which, by the way, is an important topic.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes us beyond that to be able to say, wow, it's Good Friday, and I can't believe that my Savior laid down his life for me. Like, he who had never known any sin, who had never even known what it was like to get a runny nose, came down to earth and submitted to crucifixion because he loved me so much that he couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
That's where imagination, and that's where sometimes fiction helps us to grow both spiritually and in our relationships with other people.
Yeah. Now, I know I have some stories that I've read throughout my life that I think the power of fiction is that it really does draw you not only into the story itself, but it draws you into a time and a place and a situation that otherwise you wouldn't be able to go into. I know when I read Gone with the Wind for the first time, I felt like I was living in the Civil War era. And I felt like that for probably 2 months after reading that book. It was very,
wow.
I just like entered into that time period, and it was just a weird experience for me to all of a sudden be living my normal life, having kind of lived large sections of it, feeling like I was back there. You know, I remember, this is even a quirkier example, Watership Down when I was younger, I like became a rabbit. I was just like this little rabbit and I had this fear of like rabbits
really cool.
being they're, you know, their warrens being like bulldozed, and I was like, oh my word, every time I walk by a ditch, I'm like, what if the rabbits are being killed in here? So that's a very, I mean, do you have examples like that too, like books that really took you in?
Yeah, well, I think that's why fiction is so wonderful, and also why it can be so dangerous, is because it draws us into the world. You know, I guess I kind of want to slip in a little caveat here, a little warning to the people who are listening. You know, you do have to be careful when you're reading fiction or when you're consuming any story, because you know, Lisa, like you say, you know, I've had experiences where I've totally entered into the world of the story, and sometimes that is a incredibly beautiful thing, because, you know, I read A Tale of Two Cities, Charles Dickens' great novel, you know, and it has this example, this character at the end who sacrifices his life for someone else. And I was totally engaged by that. It brought me to tears. And I said, man, this is what Jesus did for me. And it was this, like, this theological epiphany that I had. But on the other hand, you know, I've also seen some stories, you know, like, this will start to show my age here, but I think you're with me. Titanic, do you remember when Titanic came out, or am I just that old?
No, I remember that, sure.
Okay.
let's pretend like it was just Titanic, 3 years ago.
And, you know, tremendous storytelling. I mean, the movie is a great example of filmmaking, but at the same time, it kind of has this like new agey kind of worldview, like, you know, love is all that really matters, and if you find the perfect romantic love, then it will endure beyond death, you know, because the last scene of the movie is like Rose dying, and then she ends up reunited with Jack back on the deck of the ship somehow. I don't know quite how it happens, but, and, you know, that movie, I was still single back then, and I kind of looked at that and said, oh, man, if I could just find a romance, the right romance, it would fill me up like nothing else ever has. And in a sense, that then drew me away from God, because then I wasn't looking to God to fill me up. I was looking for this perfect kind of romance, which, of course, doesn't actually exist, unfortunately. And I thought that would be my everything.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, being lost in a story can be a beautiful thing, or it can be a dangerous thing. And I think we have to watch out for when it can become a dangerous thing. We have to be careful what we let into our minds and our hearts.
Well, exactly. And I think maybe the modern or the current equivalent of that is like the Twilight series, you know, and all these teenage girls that are just so excited about Twilight. And I'm like, literally, the chances of you falling in love with a vampire are very slim. And we need you to not live as though this is going to be part of your actual story. But I mean, I have nieces who are just all like, oh, my word, Edward, and all this stuff. And I'm like, can we just leave Edward alone? I mean, it's just, and I think that there's very, you know, it can, like, as you said, I mean, this is almost a funny way of putting it, but it can get a little bit creepy. I mean, I went to, was at a gun show this past weekend, because I'm thinking of buying a gun, people. I need to do it. I live alone. But anyway, but there was this weird subculture there of like wizards and people who were like buying swords and sabers and daggers and stuff, because they're totally, whether it's living out, you know, weird medieval stuff, or whether it's Lord of the Rings or whatever it is, like all these people that are trying to live these separate existences because of stuff that they've experienced in books. And I'm just like, yeah, I mean, how would you recommend that we kind of like live that fine line between reality, like the very real lessons we can get? I mean, I think getting back to Titanic, I think why people resonated with that film, and why it's the most watched film in history, is that, or the highest grossing or whatever we call it, is because of that redemption story that's in there. The story of the gospel, the fact that he gave his life for this, you know, this girl and whatever and all this stuff. And I mean, it was fun to see the China crashing too, but still, I mean, that aspect of it, people want to live as part of a story that's bigger than themselves. And how can they do that while still holding on to reality and actually living out their actual life? What would you say?
I think part of it is being careful about the stories you pick, you know, and that doesn't mean that you can only ever read stuff that's in the Christian bookstore, you know, but it does mean taking time to find out about the stuff that you're reading before you read it, you know, check out reviews. Does it ultimately end with something redemptive, something that tells us that there's something more to life, that there's hope beyond the tragedy, that there's hope beyond the conflict of the story? Or does it ultimately end with a message that life is kind of pointless and, you know, this whole existence thing stinks and then you die? Because there are people writing from both of those perspectives. So I think it means knowing a little bit about the author and the work maybe before you pick it up. And then I think it also means trying to just filter everything that you read through your grid of what it means to be a biblical Christian. you know, just evaluate, you know, to take time to evaluate with your mind, trying to separate the emotions from it, because, of course, one of the things that a good story is going to do is evoke strong emotions. Sure. But I think it means, you know, if you read a story that you're like, oh, huh, this might not quite line up with what the Bible says. This might not quite line up with what it means to be a Christian pursuing Jesus, that you can separate the emotion that says, oh, I want that, I long for that, from your mind that can say, whoa, wait a minute, this maybe isn't quite God speaking here, you know? Mm-hmm. This might be the world speaking here.
Yeah. So definitely, you know, some inherent dangers. The other thing I want you to address really quickly, because we've talked a lot about fiction, there are a lot of people who don't read fiction or who don't read long form stories or whatever, mm-hmm. because they are so addicted, on the flip side of that, to the here and now. I mean, I have friends who are like blog snobs who read so many blogs, and their biggest thing is to find the latest, greatest blog and like latch onto mm-hmm. it and ferret out all this information and share it with other people. I think that's probably one reason why we're not engaged in stories anymore, because we're just following stuff online and bits and pieces here and there throughout the day. But what would you say is the value, and then some of the dangers in that? Whether they're blogs that involve creative writing or fiction stuff, you know, or information.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's some blogs that I like to read, you know, so I'm not down on blogs at all. I'm not down on you know, people who want to get their information in bite-sized chunks. You know, there's some value to that. There's some efficiency to that. But I think sometimes when we really engage in a good story, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, sometimes we kind of have to say, hey, there may not be any direct value to this in my life right now, today. This may not tell me how to live my life differently right now. But maybe it's going to change me in a deeper way. You know, maybe this is going to help me to understand somebody who I never understood before, to walk around in their shoes. Maybe this is going to snap me out of my self-centered, information-driven world, my world where it's all about what I have to get done today and checking off my to-do list. And it's going to snap me out of that into a world where I need to engage with other people and where I need to feel more deeply than a 300-word blog post can ever accomplish.
Sure.
It's essentially going to make me into a wholer person, a person who is not just collecting information about Christianity, but who has moved to more thoroughly live out my Christianity, because I know what it means to live in a story that's bigger than me.
Sure.
And I think that's really what story is all about at the end of the day, is it reminds me that the world is about more than just me. It reminds me that there's other people made in the image of God running around out there who are worthy of my respect and my love and who are every bit as much connected to God, who have feelings and hopes and dreams, every bit as much as I do.
Sure, yeah. Well, that's cool. And I think we try to do that at Boundless a lot. I think we try to direct people. Obviously, we have the blog, we have the webzine, all of our articles, mm-hmm. including yours. But we try to drive people to that understanding of larger story and to direct people elsewhere. I mean, I know we talk about Tim Challies and his book reviews. We've talked about many of the different offerings that are out there, especially new things that are coming down the pike. And really then on the blog itself, to provide that forum for people to discuss and find kind of that or explore that meaning that they are finding in the reading and the writing that they do. So I think that's good. Well, that's
and in fact, I know Ted, our editor at Boundless, had mentioned that he was going to post a blog coinciding with his podcast that would include some of the Boundless fiction selection. So if anybody's interested in checking out some of the fiction that Boundless has published in the past, they can go look at the blog, and I know he'll link back to some of those.
Absolutely. Grab your laptop, grab your smartphone, whatever you have, print it out, whatever. Yeah. Go and sit out in the sun. We're heading into spring. Grab some vitamin D, you know, from, you know, we've been sitting inside for too long, and read a piece of fiction. And then when Ted does post that, weigh in on it and let us know what you think, because I think the power of story is huge. We see it in churches. We see it elsewhere. Obviously, we see it in the entertainment industry. And so I think it's valuable. So, well, George, thank you so much for joining us. Again, you can find out more of George's writing specifically at writingbygeorge.com, and obviously here at boundless.org, as he's one of our contributors. So, George, thanks so much for being a part of the show.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. I sure appreciate it.
I'm running to your throne so I can see your face alone. Thirst for you, reach for you. And when I come to you, I bow my knees, draw near to you. The only God, the great I am. I'm stretching forth my hand, I'm coming from a hungry land. Quench my thirst, fill my cup. And as I come upon your face, I see you're full of grace. Come God, come God.
Well, hey, everyone. We are opening up this week's inbox, and I have Candace here with me. Hey, Candace.
Hi, Lisa. I noticed you're wearing a lightweight sweater today.
I am.
Not the heavy cowl neck of the webcast.
Of the webcast. I pulled out a spring-summer sweater, finally decided it was time. In fact, I'm packing away the brown
the cowl.
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably good. So,
I just love that sweater, though. I don't know.
Hear you. We've all got our favorite one, so. Wool, warm. Yeah.
Yeah. If I can please say again that it was cooler when I put that on and I was just not preparing for the spike in the heat wave of that day. So,
got it.
Okay. Well, we're going to answer a question today that is going to be interesting because definitely something that I live through and walk through, and it kind of reflects some of who I am as well. So very near and dear to my heart, and I thank this woman for writing in about it. She basically, I'm going to summarize kind of her statements on the front end, and then we're going to ask kind of three pointed questions and let Candace give a go at it. She is 32 years old and she's single. She is a Black woman living in South Dakota. So she was saying, you know, she's kind of a little bit fish out of water there. But the bigger issue is she is strong. She's considered intimidating. She is climbing the career ladder at work. She's mm-hmm. very well respected at work, and who she considers herself to be and her personality, her strengths and everything at work are really working well for her. So right. She definitely has got that going on. But she says things take a turn when it comes into social situations because she's told that she intimidates guys. She says she really tries not to, but it's who she is. She is going on dates, and she's dated a guy quite a few times now, but he's kind of like dropped off the grid, she says. So she's wondering if she's pushy or assertive in a relationship and it's driving men off. So she's basically saying at this point, she's like, do I need to pull back, change my personality and become, quote, lesser so she can attract a guy? Three questions we want you to kind of hit, or three points in this, Candace. We're going to talk about this because sometimes I live this myself. She wants to know, how do you balance the world of work where you're respected because of your personality and then social life where maybe that's not playing as well for her? Then she says, I've actually considered moving to a different state where maybe this isn't going to be as much of a problem, or where she won't be considered as fish out of water for her personality and whatever. So should she really just change her life to find a potential mate? And then really, should she actually try to change aspects of her personality to make herself less intimidating?
Well, I can relate too, Lisa, because I think I heard that phrase, you're intimidating, or some variation of it when I was single and did work in a high-powered, you know, male-dominated environment on Capitol Hill. I think the challenge here for Christian women is to be biblically feminine consistently, whether you're at work or you're in a social setting or you're at church, you really don't want to be a chameleon. I don't think that is a good pattern to try to emulate, you know, to start practicing being one way at work and then another way on a date. I think you really want to strive for integrity. And so I would start by saying, are there things that you do at work that get applause because that's how the world lives and that's how the world encourages you to be? Are you working like a man? Or are you really striving to be biblically feminine in all of the spheres God has given you? Because God made you a woman for a reason. He had a woman in mind when he made you. And I think your prayer should be, Lord, make me the woman you created me to be. And if he made you a woman with a strong personality, you can still submit your personality to Christ and say, Lord, redeem my personality. You know, I used to pull the personality card on Steve and I'd say, well, that's just my personality. You're just going to have to live with it. And he would say, honey, you know, you are who you are, but God is calling you to be like him, mm-hmm. not to be more ENTJ, but to be more like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I think the starting point is just to submit who you are to Christ's lordship and ask him, how do you want me to be consistently at work, at home, at church, in social settings?
Yeah. Well, and you and I were talking about, you know, let's talk a little bit about the verse from 1 Peter, because that is a great illustration of how I think we're maybe having a hard time here distinguishing between what does it look like to live biblically in your spirit?
Right. Let's
give the verse, first of all.
Well, 1 Peter 3:4, which talks about true beauty coming from a gentle and quiet spirit and that being of great worth in God's sight.
Right. Okay. So I think we have stereotypes of what a gentle and quiet spirit is, which
right.
is basically, you know, God's calling all women to have a gentle and quiet spirit. So how do you do that when your personality is maybe not so gentle and
right,
quiet?
Right.
What does that look like?
Well, I think what it doesn't look like is faking a meek and not even meek. That's the wrong word, because Jesus was meek and calls us to be meek, but faking a sort of mousy personality. We're not mm-hmm. telling you to not have a loud laugh if God gave you a loud laugh, or to not be opinionated if mm-hmm. you're opinionated. But to be, I think the standard here is, of course, to be like Christ, but in a practical way, to think, is what I'm saying kind, and is it respectful? And I think whenever you're dealing with men, the standard is really to be respectful to them as men, to honor them as men. You know, I think about Abigail in the Old Testament, and I love the way she related to David as king, even when he was getting ready to act as a murderer. Mm-hmm. And she just had that standard of relating to him that way. And I think men respond so well when we relate to them as God designed them to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and two, I think there's that aspect of understanding then how that does play out in an attitude of respect. Because I think my failing in the past was to try to be one of the guys. And
right.
I was always,
yeah.
So what did that, you know, because I'm a very high thinker, you know, talking about Myers-Briggs.
Right.
And I would kind of feel exactly what this woman's saying is, maybe I don't come across as, you know, needy enough or weak enough, mm-hmm. or maybe I'm saying too much, or maybe but I definitely have learned the value of listening to men and respecting men, just like what
right.
you said.
Well, and I don't think the men are going to be the ones to say, hey, you're acting too much like one of the guys. I think you have to get that input from another woman,
mm-hmm.
because I think men like women who pal around, but the danger there is that they then tend to treat you like a man, and they're not going to date a woman that they think of as one of the guys. And
mm-hmm.
so that may be part of your problem, is that you're relating to men as men, and you need to continue to relate to them as a woman, even in a professional setting, and you can do that professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess my prayer for you would be that you find a woman who has mastered this, someone you look up to, who really is still very feminine in the way she works, who is a believer. And I know that may be a tall order where you are, but ask for it. Ask the Lord to show you a woman that you can go to say, how do I grow in my femininity, even as I'm growing in my career?
Mm-hmm. So what about the, literally the, you know, big fish in a small pond? I mean, sitting in South Dakota with a bunch of ranchers and farmers,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
does she need right. to consider moving?
Well, and
point,
she
or?
Mentioned her race, and it sounds like maybe that's an issue, that she doesn't look like the guys she's working with, and maybe they're not asking her out. I think that's a very fair point, and I think that's one that strategically you might want to move to a bigger city or a different city. However, you want to be careful, because the grass is always greener, and we hear, Lisa, from women all over the country who say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are in L.A., some of them are in New York, some of them are in, you know, Pocatello, Idaho. I mean, they're just all over the country. You hear there aren't any good guys here. And so before you assume there aren't any good guys where you are, I say get very active in a church if you're not, and seek out that mentoring and get the input. You know, Proverbs talks about the wisdom of many counselors, and, you know, plans fail for lack of input and insight. And I think it's important to seek that out before you make a major change, because you'd hate to get to a new city where your only reason for going was to meet more men, and to find out, lo and behold, there aren't any more men there than where you just came from.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think it could even be indicative, because I see myself tending this way as well, to, again, want to take control and say, yeah, you know, okay, well, I need to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I need to do what I need to do. I'm going to go out and find a man. I'm going to do,
right,
you know, and
right,
there does come a point where, you know, like you say in your book, Candace, and Get Married, you know, there are many, many things that we can proactively do now as women, but there does come a point where you do have to say, God has my story.
Right.
God knows what's up. And really, I just want to finish out by saying this too, Candace, really quickly. I mean, what is there for the men to learn from this? Because I know many situations where, you know, maybe a guy needs to consider,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's one thing to, we don't want to steamroll guys or whatever, but sometimes guys need to recognize that they don't need to just gravitate towards weak or needy,
right,
women.
No, I think the lesson for the men is, don't treat a woman like one of the guys. And if she is acting like one of the guys and you have a friendship with her, I think you can share that with her to say, I respect you too much to treat you like one of the guys. I want to treat you like a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this gets into all kinds of issues of, oh my, this could be such a landmine. But for the men to have biblical character and be truly biblical, they need to relate to the women differently than they do their male friends.
Right.
And I would just encourage you to be faithful where God has you, and to pray, if he wants you somewhere else, to really not only give you that desire, but open up opportunities elsewhere. Because moving just for the sake of meeting new men, I think, could leave you more frustrated than where you're at now.
Right. And for guys not to let the women call all the shots too, because I think there's that problem of saying, you know, well, you know, she's just this and she's just that. Well, you always talk, Candace, about men interrupting the plans of women. And
right,
so maybe a guy needs to say, you know what, you are a strong personality, and whoa, you know, sometimes maybe that intimidates me a little bit, but you are of godly character and you've
right,
got your stuff together and whatever. I'm going to take the risk and I'm going to step up and lead in this situation and show strength in
right,
that too.
Right.
And so there's responsibility.
I think most women are hoping that a man will come along and ask her to fit in with him.
Mm-hmm.
Even though initially that may be a hard thing to hear, I think the women need to be challenged that when a man asks you to fit in with him, he's asking you to do what biblical marriage is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want to marry well, mm-hmm, then that's going to be the model that you need to strive for.
Yeah. Good thoughts. All right. Well, hopefully this is helpful to our listener out there and to many of you, including myself, those women who have been told that we're strong and intimidating or whatever, just fill in the blank. So Candace, good thoughts on that. As always, everyone, write to us, editor@boundless.org, with your questions. We want to address them here, and your comments or any kind of incidents where you have applied the advice that Candace has given and it's worked, or maybe it hasn't worked.
That's right. We want to hear from both kinds.
Exactly. Let us know, because that really helps us shape where we go from here, obviously keeping it all biblical from the get-go. So that is it for this week's show, everyone. It's been fun kind of jumping into summer with a roundup of some of the things that have been going on around here. We want to hear from you, and we want to see you. So come out and visit us, everyone. We love that. And when you do come, please bring stuff from where you're from, because we love that too. So, but we have to kind of fight over it, but that's okay. All right, everyone, that's it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family. We'll be right back.